by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
Coming to you almost live from Hendox Pub in beautiful, awesome town. It's the Massive Report Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Gethin, subbing in once again for the vacationing Matt Gosher. With me, just like last week, we have Chris, don't call me too tall, LaMachia, Justin, Mr. Tifo Bell, and of course, our very own Larry, the Statman Johnson. Gentlemen, say hello.
Well, hello there. Hey.
It's Mr. T.
Has a nice ring to it. We have a full show tonight, just chock full of bad craziness that we will, all kinds of segments, all kinds of information for our faithful listeners, talking about the crew reserves, talking about, grading the crew, not only the players, but the positions, the coaching staff, whatnot. We're going to be talking USA Mexico, upcoming crew schedule, and of course, previewing next week's match at home at Columbus Crew Stadium with the crew taking on the Philadelphia Union. So to get us started, Larry, we're going to start with you tonight. The crew reserves played two matches last week. Tuesday here in Columbus against the Chicago Fire, which they won 2-1, and then Sunday against the New York Red Bulls at Mercyhurst College, I believe, where they lost 3-2. Give us your thoughts on first the match in Columbus against the Chicago Fire, because you were at that one.
Okay. Well, I think the first thing that stood out to me was that Chicago came down with such a skeleton group of players, because I think it's due more to injury. But they had a lot of trialists and things like that, and the crew have pretty much a full, pretty experienced reserve squad this year. No trialist. Everybody's signed and ready to go with MLS minutes. And, they showed it. Chicago looked good early on, but I think things just sort of fell apart for them after about the first 20 minutes.
It is the Fire now.
Yeah. They don't seem to have it together at the moment. But the reserves did look, pretty impressive through the second part of the first half and the second half. So that the scoreline was reflective of how well they played. Okay. I thought some good standout performances, and, they looked like they did in the preseason, just solid.
Do you see them picking up where they left off last year after winning, the reserve league? Yeah.
Well, I think, as long as Robert Warzia and company run the reserves this way, I think they'll always have success. They've got a lot of talented young players. And then give them experience through a rotating lineup, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later on. But there's a lot of good players there.
Yeah.
You got Chani and Ethan Finley, Justin Miriam, Eric Gehrig, and even Matt Lamson. They all had experience in Major League Soccer, like league minutes last year, where Chicago had three or four players, Corbin Bone and a couple other guys that have a few minutes.
And that's the one thing that the crew has done well with the reserve squad. Mm-hmm. It's stocking it with guys that, they might not be part of the starting 11 playing every week, but they're getting the minutes up with the big club, with the first team, but they're going in and they're really cleaning house. Would you say that?
The reserve team? They do and they don't. And, they get rid of a lot of the turnover is actually with the in-between players, between the first team and second team, that should be first team players, but they sort of drift between reserve and first team players like Justin Miram and Eric Gehrig. You know, we'll be looking at them. I'll be looking at them closely this year to see if they drift up to the first team enough this year.
Oh, fair enough, fair enough. Justin, give us your thoughts on the match Sunday. The New York Red Bulls, you know, crew traveled there, the reserves. They lost 3-2, but of course, Conrad Warzeha is now 2-for-2 in reserve league matches. Give us your thoughts on that.
Well, I didn't watch the game, obviously. I don't know if it was on. Can you hear me? Okay, cool. I didn't watch the game, but, I mean, if the issue is going to be Conrad. I mean, I think we were all, I don't know, I was one of the people who was kind of okay with him bringing, with Conrad joining the team. I think he can add some things. I think he's got some talent. I think Chris has some better thoughts about this, so it might set him up a little bit. But, you know, I think he's a guy who's going to, who's at some point in the season is going to contribute to the senior level, senior squad team.
Do you see him playing, not necessarily starting, but part of the 18?
Well, my prediction when he was signed was that he would eventually start sometime this year. I don't know if it's going to be in the U.S. Open Cup matches or it'll probably be a U.S. Open Cup match if it happens, but I can see it happening. I mean, at some point, we've been very lucky with injuries so far. The only real injury has been Eddie Gavin. I mean, at some point, he's gonna see time. He does. He has some talent. He can play. If he continues to prove it in the reserve matches, he's definitely going to play. I think one of the questions was, we were talking about before we turned on the mics, was, does he see the field before Will Trapp? My opinion is probably he should. I think Will Trapp is going to, he is very, very important to this team. The development of that player is very important, not just to the season this year, but to the club. He has to, it's a lot of pressure to put on a very, very young player, but he has to pan out, and I think the coaching staff has a lot of pressure on them to develop him the right way. That means not throwing him out there against, I don't know, pick a team, Kansas City, that just goes out and beats him up. Some people say that's good. I particularly like to think that he needs to be worked into it more slowly.
So you're looking at the long view. You're taking the long view with Will Trapp versus Conrad coming in.
I don't think you can ruin Conrad. That's what I'm saying.
Well, there you go. That leads us into Chris. I mean, Chris, you made a statement earlier before we went and started recording the podcast that Conrad would make the 18 before the end of April.
Yes, absolutely.
Give us your reasons why, because I don't see it.
My contention, and like I said earlier, I would bet a small but significant $5 to $10 amount of
Chipotle
money
burrito
that Conrad Warzeha makes the 18 before the end of April. If for no other reason than he is responsible, he is a good professional. He does well in practice. He does well in the reserve matches. He's obviously put up 2 goals so far this year. And those are all the things that Robert looks for. It has nothing to do with Conrad being Robert's son. It has everything to do with Conrad knowing the kind of player that Robert wants and therefore being that player. And yeah, I absolutely believe that Conrad will make the 18 before Will Trapp and most likely see the field before Will Trapp. And this is one of the few things that Justin and I disagree on. I think that Will Trapp does need to see some early MLS minutes, senior team minutes early in his career. Maybe not against Kansas City, that's the wrong team. But against a lower level, 70th minute, we're up 2-1, we're up 3-1 kind of sub, to get Will Trapp in there and let him feel the pace of the game, let him feel the violence and the speed and all of those things that differentiate MLS senior Saturday night soccer from even reserve league or college soccer. Will Trapp was a great soccer player.
We would have thought that Chivas game was that game, but they've gone on a tear.
I think that was too early, but maybe, I'm thinking of New England. Some bottom feeder in July, Will Trapp needs to see the field. Will Trapp needs to get 20 solid minutes of MLS primetime soccer just so that he can get his feet wet and feel, like in his bones, feel how different
he looked really comfortable when I saw him, a lot more comfortable than I would have thought. But I think it goes to what Justin's saying, too, is, a little bit of a reserve league action. You know, looking, he was actually playing a little bit further up than I thought, and it looks like against New York he was doing that too. But he was, just like he was in the under 20 tournament that we saw on TV, he's just very calm and patient.
Right.
In the middle of the field.
The only thing that scares me about getting Will Trapp early minutes, early in his career minutes, is if he does go in, well, he is going to go in and get pushed around and bullied and right. treated like he's going to get on the block. How's that going to impact him, you know, psychologically? Is he going to be able to deal with that and, you know, realize that, hey, I'm Will Trapp. I'm a good freaking soccer player here. I'm just young. You know, that's the only thing that worries me.
Well, there you go. I mean, it's great insight on both Will Trapp from Justin and Conrad. Mm-hmm. And I'll take you up on that bet.
Absolutely.
You know, on that
we'll
one.
Say, we'll say
burrito.
Chipotle burrito. Yep.
I'm saying that Conrad does not see
Conrad.
The 18 before May 1st.
Conrad sees the 18 in April.
So at this point, the Crew Reserves are now 1-1 on the season.
Yeah.
Their next match is roughly 4 weeks away or so.
And if you think about it, they're doing it right. Wins at home, ties on the road. Or not ties, but losses on the road.
Losses
they're
on
still
the road.
Doing it right.
They play somewhat
yeah.
decently.
Yeah.
But, you know, good for them. They're yeah. at least, you know, they're at 500 this early in the season. So we have to take a break. We're going to take a, you know, a look in the next segment at grading your Columbus Crew. Also, in the third segment, we're going to get to a little thing that Sam kind of threw out there today on Twitter and on the Massive Report Facebook page, where he asked what your projected starting lineups would be. And we're going to answer some of those. We're going to put some of your answers here on the show tonight. So look for those coming up in the third segment. Next, we're going to have the crew grades. And I know it's going to be just heinous, heinous, bad craziness coming. This is the Massive Report. Stay tuned. Stat Man Johnson.
That you're music, about to get a t-shirt with that on it.
That music, Walk the Moon, name of the band, covering the Talking Heads, Burning Down the House. They're from Cincinnati, Ohio. Two members of the band from here in Columbus. So we're going local with the music tonight in the podcast. This is the big segment I think our listeners have been waiting for. You guys are going to grade the crew. On you know, their performance up to this point of the season. And I think we want to start with goalkeeping. And Justin, we'll start with you. Give us your grade on Andy, the Heber Hammer.
I give an A for Andy.
An A?
I think he's done pretty well. Now, it would be up to his standards from last season. I think he hasn't been quite as good as what he started out at last year. But he's solid, and I can't
fault him.
Yeah, I can't fault him. I mean, the goals that he's let in have been spectacular. I mean, the goal, Kobayashi's goal was remarkable. Raphael's goal was, again, something that I just don't think he could have touched. And then when he's needed to, he's been a wall. So I give him an A.
Well, that's always good for the...
Or a 10. What are we grading on? Is it
we'll go with we'll letters.
Letters.
We'll go with letter
grades.
We'll okay, go letter grades on this. A, I think, is a fair assessment of Andy Greenebaum at this point of the season. And we can only hope, and I think his past performance would prove this out, that he gets better and even more steady, more stout in the mouth of the goal. Chris... Let's go to you. Give us your grade for the defense as a whole.
The defense as a whole? As
yes.
a unit?
As a defensive unit.
As a back line plus two?
Sure.
I'm going to give them a B minus.
Tell us why.
As a back line plus two, they get a B minus. As a back four, they get a solid A. I think that the Danny O'Rourke, Agustin Viana experiment is failing. I think it's time to move on to the next Robert Orsi experiment when that, as far as that goes. But technically, Danny and Agustin are midfielders, so I'll give the back four an A. They're, with the exception of Glauber, who has been, butt soup this year. You know, he let in two goals. We can blame two goals on him.
Butt soup with crackers.
With crackers, if you like. Yeah, crackers for the one goal that he gave up. Or for the one goal that he scored, and then the two goals that he gave up, you can squarely pin those on his shoulders. So I think, with the exception of Glauber, the back four has been very solid as we can hope they would be.
I don't even think we're talking oyster crackers at this point. We're talking captain's wafers. I mean, you've got to go that way, Larry. We have to go to you for the midfield as a whole. With
okay.
the exclusion of the strikers, because we'll get to that. But the midfield as a whole, how have they played to this point in the season?
That's asking a lot, because you have, you know, two defensive midfielders. And
I figured
you
were the man that could step up to the plate here.
I think, well, the thing is they've kept it very stable and rather predictable. So it's that can be good, because they've been healthy and, you know, they're sticking with Viana and O'Rourke. You know, that Spies got his opportunity with Eddie Gavin out, and that, you know, it was a great opportunity for him to show what he could do. It could have easily gone the other way.
Oh, sure.
Where he was just sort of a nondescript, you know, was out there holding it together, and we still got the same results, and we'd be saying, okay, on to the next guy, maybe Miram or something like that. But he grabbed hold of it. So I would say, you know, the midfield might be the area where there's the most transition going on. Just
right.
through four games and the most questions, but you know, I would give them a B minus, something like that. The only reason is because of Adoro playing in that sort of right mid spot. It's, you know, we talked about it before here, it's not his position,
right? Exactly.
A couple of those results might have been different if he wasn't there.
Well,
yeah.
That's the big thing with Adoro, where he showed, I want, you know, dare I say, more brilliance
yeah.
playing in the center
than
definitely. He did out on the wings.
Well, we talked about it last week. He, amazingly, Dominic Azzurro is a better forward than a midfielder. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Who knew?
7 years playing one position,
right.
All of a sudden. Yeah.
Which brings us to our strikers, to our forwards, our goal scorers, you know, whatever term you want to throw on that. We're going to go around the table on this one. Chris, we'll start with you. Give us a grade on it.
I don't think you can rate them anything less than an A. You know, no matter who is up top, be it Adoro and Arrieta, be it Adoro by himself, Arrieta by himself, it doesn't matter. With a guy like Federico Higuain behind him, you're going to get...
Do you consider Higuain a forward or a
I think
midfielder?
For the sake of these ratings, yeah, I consider him a forward, but
okay.
You know, technically he is a midfielder.
Yeah. Well, I think I would consider him a forward, too, because recently... He'll pop up sort of in the
right.
back, but you can tell where he's wants to play.
Yeah, he's a forward. And Bob may be trying to convince us all that he's that, you know, attacking
yeah,
midfielder.
That might get interesting
but
later
he's really
this year.
Not. there's no universe where Federico Higuain is
with,
an attacking mid.
With two defensive midfielders,
no.
You have an attacking midfielder. You're asking him to come to the back. There's
yeah, that theoretically gives us a five-man midfielder.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, that's a... No.
So, Larry, expand on that. I mean, where do you see grade-wise... Our strikers, our forwards. I mean, where do you see them at this point of the season?
I would say it's an incomplete with the forwards, because if you're including Higuain in there, he's
my math teacher.
I got a lot of those.
Got to turn some more homework in.
Yeah, the more one
square root of Higuain divided by
right.
Yeah,
Scalotto,
because I think we'll see more of Adoro up front, because. Which is a little bit frustrating to me, because Arrieta is scoring in every other game that he plays. He's doing exactly what you need someone in his role to do. And then yet there's some feeling that Oduro should be put up there to sort of stretch the field. And he can do that. But at the same time, his finishing rate is nowhere near where Arrieta's was last year.
Right.
And Arrieta was able to do it with or without Higuain. This first set of games that he was in there, he did it without him. And Higuain was there, he did it with him. And so, but what I think might be happening, what might happen, is it might be too tempting to put Oduro up there and see what he can do with Higuain behind him. Now, it could be that Oduro could, you know, scoring at the same rate.
Well, who knows?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it can go one of two ways.
Yeah.
He's either going to be phenomenal
or
the flashes of brilliance.
What it comes down to is that the club is asking a lot of Higuain, Oduro, and Arrieta.
Right.
Those are the ghost scorers with Viena and O'Rourke. They're going to keep two holding defensive midfielders in there. They're asking for 12, 13 goals and assists from those two players, three players. That's quite a bit.
You know, our peanut gallery, our wonderful audience tonight, TJ just brought up a very good point, that a defender leads the team in goals. So can we really, honestly, with a clear conscience, it really does make the forwards an incomplete. Can we really? I almost want to change my forward grade. Almost.
Almost.
You're reading my mind. You're reading my mind. I mean, I think this is why, you know, that's why I thought that our strikers get a B. And if I'm going to be a little bit more accurate, I'd say a B minus. I don't think that we're not scoring goals in the run of play. I mean, I know that this is always the age old debate, but they're creating things.
They're
creating chances.
Obviously.
They're doing some stuff, but it's finishing, and that's basically what strikers need to do. Is finish.
Yeah, they do have. So, they do need to go to 18th century British finishing school.
They do.
So Justin,
ask Danny about that.
Give us your grade on the forwards, on the strikers, the guys that are up there scoring the goals.
Arrieta,
heard what these guys said. You know.
Yeah, Arrieta and Oduro to me get B minus, just because they. You know, I mean, they're playing well. They just haven't scored. I mean, that's. I think. You know, the. Well, I'm talking about like.
Oduro scored.
I'm talking about in terms of. I mean, we're getting our goals from set pieces. That's what we're getting our goals. And like you said, leading the team in scoring right now is our right back.
And can that sustain the team the whole year? I mean, it's just one of those things where we're great.
Question. Are our forwards getting shots or shots on goal and just getting stopped?
That's a good question.
That's a very good question.
And I think that's something that's going to come. I mean, I think, like, for instance, Oduro had a couple really really good shots in the last game out there. That last goal that shot that he had that Bill Hamid saved was just incredibly wicked. And, I mean, if you compare him to what we've had in the last couple of seasons, Emilio Renteria comes to mind. Emilio Renteria was somebody who created a lot of chaos for the other team, but he was also likely to send a ball into the Crew Stadium parking lot. I think Dominic Oduro is a much more lethal striker, and I think he can become that. Right now, he hasn't scored goals other than the one that he made, which was an incredible goal in the first game of the season, the coast-to-coast.
Right. I'm just going to take off running and outrun everybody
right.
goal.
I mean, the other aspect of this, too, is, like, I think, you know, if we're including Higuain in the forwards, I mean, I think of him more as a deep-line playmaker. I don't think of him as a striker. I know.
Oh, exactly.
So, I think he's kind of almost beyond grading. I mean, he just does things that are... You know, there was a graphic in the last game, the DC game. If you go back and you watch the DC Crew match... NBC Sports had a really good graphic. I thought it was the image of the match. It was the 25th minute of the game, and they focused it on Higuain, and underneath it they say Federico Higuain, 26 touches. He had 26 touches in 25 minutes. I mean, that's a guy who is working. He is.
Yeah.
The offense is going through him, and that amazed me. That was a moment that stuck with me. Is something. This is the guy who's going to be our team. Now, do we have someone who he can match up with and play to get goals? I I think Arrieta comes back. We're going to have that guy. But
Eddie
I still
Gavin.
Eddie Gavin. But I still want to see him playing with two forwards in front of him. I want to see that happen.
You almost have to. And so, I have to add this in with the Oduro shot on Hamid against DC United in the Cruz last match. Against almost any other team, that ball would have gone in.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Hamid is a world class goalie. At least the way he's playing right now.
Yeah, he's really on it.
He deserves
a totally
on his game.
Yeah,
you know, he really is. And against any other team, that ball would have gone in. That would have been a goal for Oduro.
So Justin,
that would have counted twice against Chicago. Right?
I think that it would have counted twice. I think that your statement begs the question: which two forwards do you play in front of Higuain? Do you play Oduro and Arrieta? Do you play?
I don't know.
I mean, you could put a Finley up there. Pick your favorite. You could put theoretically, you could put a Ben Spies up there.
You could even put Mirror Michelle.
You could put a well. No, you can't put Schoenfeld up there. He's a reserve player.
He's a target player.
He's got great hair, and that's you know.
And you know, and it's a great discussion, but it's one we're going to have to kind of push off a little bit here because we really want to get into the individual grades at this point. At least I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, and we'll start with Larry. And we'll start with Higuain.
Yeah, I think Higuain is definitely. He's the key player with the group. He's been performing. You know, he's beating expectations, his lofty expectations. I mean, he gets an A. I mean, you know, DC sort of underestimated him when we saw what he could do. And, you know, if that happens in the future, he's going to make people pay. He's going to make teams pay. And that's an A. He's done it.
When teams don't take him seriously or don't take the threat of him seriously.
Well, when they play their own game. You know,
exactly.
Right. You know, DC came out thinking that they could play what they normally play and not adjust for Higuain. And it didn't work. It just didn't. I mean, the crew dominated them for the first 30 minutes.
It's one of those things where, how many matches have we seen Higuain double-team?
All of them.
You know.
Except for DC.
Except for DC.
That's a very good point. Left Barry Kitchen there.
He made them pay for that.
Yeah,
maybe not, you know, directly.
But no. But what Justin said: 25 touches in 26 minutes, or
exactly
the other way around. If you let him have that, the crew are going to be dominating the game. Just like in Chivas, it was the same situation where everything was running through him. They didn't seem to care, even to who he was. So. It's an A.
an A for Higuain. Chris, we're going to go to you. Here's the player. I want to hear the grade on you, from you, on Ben Spies.
I'd give Ben Spies a solid B. There are some things that he's lacking in, but I think that's because of experience. That's because of his youth. And I hate to fault him for being young, but I'm going to do it because I'm harsh like that. But I think that Ben has performed, I don't want to say exceptionally well, but he's done everything that's been asked of him and then some.
And then some,
he's gone in and created havoc in the absence of Eddie Gavin. He's gone in and created havoc. He's created a problem on the team itself with, you know, do you leave him in the 18? Do you leave him in the starting 11? Do you put him in the 18 for a super sub? Is he a 60th minute coming to wear the other guys out? He is doing everything that you could expect a 22, 23-year-old to do in this league and doing it very well.
And
a homegrown player. Justin made it the point earlier, way, way before we went on the air, and I just happened to overhear it, that Ben Spies and Higuain have kind of created this relationship where they're playing very well together.
The chemistry is really starting to come to the forefront.
If I could, you know, use a phrase that you've coined, the intangibles,
exactly,
are there, hands down. I think that I would give Ben Spies a solid B. The only thing that he's lacking is maybe a little bit of strength on the ball, maybe a little bit of being able to see the game developing before him.
See that coming with more experience?
Exactly. Yes.
There you go, Justin. We're going to go to you. Give us your grade. And Dominic Oduro.
I think Oduro gets a B, a good solid B, as like Chris was saying for speed. I'm really impressed with him. We knew he was fast. We knew he was a pro. And again, I compare him to players that we've had in the past. I think he's been being played out of position, which is going to affect his performance. I think he's a forward. He's a striker. That's what he needs to be doing. And we saw it in the last game. He caused so many problems for DC. Now, the question is going to be if he's the guy who set when Arrieta comes back. I think he could be excellent as a guy off the bench again, but I want to see him play. I think he could easily achieve an A in the next month if he gets time.
Do you
gets
think
time.
If he gets is going to be pushing him off the starting 11?
That's what my...
I think that might happen.
Do they go to a two-striker front?
That's what I want to see.
I think a lot of people would like to see that
happening with Arrieta and Oduro. I mean, that's the question.
I want to see that happen, but I don't think it's going to.
I don't think
Arrieta,
so.
Oduro with Spies, opposite of Eddie Gavin. Yeah. That's
and
every
Wayne
crew fan's wet dream.
In the center?
And that's every crew fan's wet dream, which is exactly why it won't
We're
happen.
All going, oh!
I mean, it goes back to Ben Spies. Ben Spies, I think, can play in the middle of the field. If we go back to the preseason, one of the very first match I watched, I had a concern. My concern was that Ben Spies was getting pushed off the ball rather easily in a few instances. And I said at the time, I want him to improve. I hope he improves because I want to see this kid play a lot. And he has improved. I think, again, it was the first preseason match, so that's the reason why I think he wasn't ready. But I think he's getting ready and he needs to play. Now, I think he's strong enough to play in the center of the field. If that's the case, then I think you bring in Oduro and put him back out there. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to... Like I said, Larry and I are in agreement. I just don't think that's going to happen, though. Yeah. But
here's a quick question for the table. And when I say quick, we need quick answers out of you guys because it's the lightning round this point. Larry, we'll start with you. What players from the bench, one or two, do you think would help improve the grades of this club that are on the bench right now?
Man, you're asking a tough question for quick. Would help improve. Well, it depends on the formation change. If they keep the formation the same, I think that they have the right players, believe it or not, that they should out there. A lot of people are calling for Matheus Sanchez to get out there, but I just don't think that he's a giant upgrade from what we got now. Now, if the goals dry up, then maybe different. But I don't know. I think the bench, I really, and this sounds weird, I think that they have the correct lineup for what formation they're trying, for what they're trying to achieve.
Well, there you go. Chris?
I don't know. I mean, can I pass?
There's no passes in the lightning round.
Would you change anybody that's on the field right now in the starting 11? Would you change anybody from the bench?
Yeah, I would put Ben Spies. Yeah, Ben Spies. Ben Spies.
Well, there you go, Justin.
I think this is a grade. Basically, what this is really a grade on Robert. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to go. I think. A little controversial. I think Robert gets an A the first month of the season. I think he gets an A.
Look here, son. We don't say them word around here.
I think he's done well.
Hire Warzy.
No, I think Robert's done very well. And
I mean, you're not talking contract extension well, right?
That's not up to me.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah, I'm trying to get you.
We will cross that bridge in September, but. I think Robert gets an A. I think he's done very well. We have two wins on the road. We have 7 points in the first four games. I think that's an A. And I think his subs have been pretty good. The Finleys have played when they've needed to play.
I love that we call them the Finleys.
The Finleys,
sorry.
Yeah.
The
and,
Finleys.
I always want to see Justin Miram get more playing time. I think Justin Miram has a nose for goal. He does some goofy things every now and then. But I think he's an attacker, and I think the time that he was subbed in was well timed when he was brought in the who were we playing, the San Jose game? I think that was a well timed sub, and so I think Robert's doing pretty well. And I know that there are going to be some people who are going to be lighting up my Twitter and my Facebook and my email for this, but
But he actually tactically did some changes with the DC game. He didn't sub until late. That was very, very unusual for him.
Yes. And,
well, just the fact that he did
that. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Well,
now that we're talking about Robert Borgia, to end the lightning round, and then we'll wrap up this segment, we'll move into the next one. We'll start with Chris. And this is, you can give us your reasons.
Yeah.
It's a yes or no, or you can give us your reasons. We hope that you give us your reasons. Should Robert Warzyha's contract be extended based on...
Based on 1 month?
Based on 1 month so far.
Based on 1 month. Wow. What a terrible, terrible question.
No, it's a really good question. You just don't want to answer
it.
No, I'm going to say no because, like TJ said, based on the past 2 years, and because I will forever, until my dying day, or he proves me wrong, say that the players are winning games in spite of Robert and not because of Robert.
Well, there you go. Justin.
Based
on four matches, I know it's early in the season.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to say I'm sticking with the dude right now. He's got it. This next month is going to be very telling.
We'll revisit this.
Yeah, this month is going to be very telling. May. But right now, I can't find fault in 7 points in four matches. Three of them are red. I just can't.
Larry, give us your thoughts. We'll wrap this up.
I think the crew are doing the right thing. If they're waiting to see how things go this year. Through the first month, he's done well, but he's had a healthy team. He hasn't been forced to make a lot of decisions. So it's a wait-and-see situation. He's been with the team a long time. Didn't make the playoffs last year. It's been deteriorating every year since he started.
Yeah,
it's hard to say he's turned it around in just 1 month. So.
Well, there you go.
Non-committal answers.
Waffling from the Massive Report podcast.
Oh, Sam.
Sam, you want to add in on this? Come on, chime in.
I think it's probably incredibly hard. It's fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, we won't get fooled again.
Fool us 3 years in a row.
And the reason I say this is
what a fool.
Last time his contract got extended, he did manage. Yes, it was after a 6-2 loss, but he did manage to get to first place in the East with basically 50% of this group as rookies. However,
as Chris goes apoplectic over here.
Yes, having said that, I really hope that Hunt Sports Group does not make the same mistake twice by renewing the contract this early. I think if he makes the playoffs and actually wins a series, the renewal of contract should be his reward for not effing up this Ferrari.
I would almost, throw my 2 cents in this before we wrap this up, I would almost like to see a Roman Abramovich ruthlessness with Warzyha based on this season. What can you do for me now?
Yep.
Is what I want to see.
I will never, ever agree with a Chelsea analogy, except for right now.
Oh, my. Wait a minute.
Is he ruthless or is he just insane?
Yes.
Well, I think it's a combination of both. But we'll also leave that for another day, as the saying goes. We have to take a short break. We'll be right back talking even more crew with all kinds of things. Going on. Of course, last segment coming up, we're going to be talking the Crew Philly match and maybe giving you a couple of tidbits of what might be coming up in the future in the Massive Report
podcast. Are we talking to someone from another country right now? Next?
No.
Coming up next?
Maybe if we can get the magic dust going. You never know what might happen that way. The wires might get crossed.
Yeah.
It is our very own Matt Gosher we're talking about.
That's true.
So, you have to take that into account. But, coming up, we have all kinds of crew talk coming up. Also, I want to remind you, Hendox Pub on Monday nights in Awesome Town.
Totally
north,
awesome.
Just north of Short North. I don't know, from New York. It's Columbus so to
fun.
Me.
So hot.
It's Awesome Town.
Yeah.
Hendox Pub, home of the $2 drafts on Monday nights, also home of the Massive Report podcast. We'll be right back after this. your host, Rick Gethin, for the vacationing Matt Goschert, who is over in jolly old England as we speak. Once again, we have Chris, don't call me too tall, LaMachia, Justin, Mr. T. Bell, and Larry the Statman Johnson. That music you just heard, and this is all because of Justin.
No.
Something he said a few weeks ago.
That was not because of me. That was
we should have had, you know, we need to have some local Ohio music in our show. That was a local singer-songwriter from Columbus, Ohio, Zach and Jake, with a song called The Fight. But we have a special treat for our listeners right now. Before we get into talking about the upcoming cruise schedule, wins and losses and whatnot, and what we think is going to happen, and also touching on the Twitter and Facebook, you know, projected lineups from our faithful listeners, we have a special treat right now coming to us live, or almost live, via Skype.
He's live to us, not to everybody else.
Is it live or is it Memorex?
He is alive, though.
We are Memorex at this point. Joining us via Skype from jolly old England is Matt Aid Haggis Goschert and our biggest cruise supporter on the English Isles, Danny Ziggy Stardust Bidmead. Say hello, guys.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We have nicknames now, guys.
I can tell. Did you know that if you call it jolly old England over here, they will punch you in the mouth?
That's why I'm over here.
Good to know.
how's it going, guys?
How's everything going over there across the pond for you, Matt?
You know, it's going really well. We just got back about an hour and a half ago from the Fulham QPR match at Craven Cottage. 3-2 win to Fulham. Narrowly avoided most of the fights in the streets, got back on the tube, and then got some Domino's pizza. So it's been a good night.
It's a good night in Columbus.
Yeah, there you go.
We don't
have
a tube. Well, we do have tubes, but they're not.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, Matt, we're going to start with you. Looking at the upcoming April schedule for the Columbus Crew, obviously next week at Crew Stadium against the Philadelphia Union. Philadelphia right now sitting at a 3-2-0 record. What's your thoughts on who's going to win? You know, give us your reasons why.
A couple of things. I mean, I think really you look at how the Crew did against DC. You look at what they were able to put together, and you look at just realistically. And I'm sitting here trying to pull up the actual stats so I can have a little bit more to back it up. And of course, my internet is absolute crap over here.
It is England.
So is it socialized internet?
It is socialized internet.
I might let you know that we invented the World Wide Web, but you know, carry on.
especially with the fact that we were able to put so many quality shots on against DC and get them on frame. That first and foremost is huge. Having Arrieta back is going to be a big key as well, and really putting everything together. I really think that we're going to be able to pull this one out against Philly. I don't think we will walk away unscathed, but especially with the Crew pulling together so well for me and me winning so well on my bet, like the first day I was over here, made it so much sweeter. Made this entire trip so much sweeter.
Well, that's excellent to hear. You know, I mean, it's always a good time and a good feeling when the boys in black and gold win a match, and especially against somebody that they might not be expected to win against, and that was, of course, DC United.
They said that it wasn't expected, but quite honestly, looking at the way that we pulled everything together in the last couple of matches, I didn't think the weather was going to be as inclement as it was in against San Jose. And I think that we only had a few key mistakes in that Vancouver match. I really do think that this team is going to start coming into their own and really clicking as far as all that goes. Because if you look at the going back again to the DC match and even the San Jose match, we put together a lot of quality combinations, and I think that showed really well in the match. And then looking forward to Philly, hopefully they can do it again. And I really think this team's starting to gel.
Well, that's always a good thought. Matt, you brought up a great point with Arrieta coming back after national team duty with Costa Rica. Coming back into the lineup for the Philly match this coming Saturday, with him in, where do you see Ben Spies fitting in?
I think you see potentially Ben Spies fitting in, maybe in a position where we've got Danny O. Quite honestly, I think one of the biggest things is I wouldn't really like to see us take out Oduro right now. I think he's bringing a lot of hustle in, and I would almost like to see. And I know this is wishful thinking with Bobby, but maybe a 2-1-3-4. I think I said that backwards.
Yeah. It's metric in two.
I did say that backwards, but
the conversion did him in.
And really try to keep Spies in. Maybe take Aurorik off and put him in towards the end as a sub. But I think that I don't think you pull him at this point.
I don't think you really can either. Chris, looking ahead, and all these standings. The wins, losses, and draws that I'm giving you are based on right now. But looking ahead, the crew traveled to Montreal after the Philly match. Montreal 4-1-0, tops in the East. Yeah, give us your thoughts on that, and will the crew be able to pull out a win in Montreal?
Every Goliath needs a David. So, yeah, I absolutely think that the crew is going to pull that out. It might not be a pretty win. It might not be... something that makes us all proud, but it's going to be a classic Columbus Crew 2-1, 1-0, we just worked harder than they did kind of win, and I don't think that we're going to have any problem with that. Montreal, yeah, they're doing very well, but everybody's going to lose once, so I see it happening.
So you see Montreal only losing once, and that would be to the Crew.
Well, in a perfect world, yeah.
They lost last week.
Kind of like Chivas. We keep coming back to Chivas.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying, though.
As it goes. And that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
If you really look at it. Larry.
Yep.
After that, the crew traveled to Chicago. Two away games. The Fire. We know how the reserves are. We know how Chicago, their first team, has been so far to this point. They're sitting at 0-3-1. Where do you see the crew coming out on that one? On top by a few goals? tell us your thoughts.
No, I mean, it's every David needs a Goliath.
Yeah, I just coined
that. We believe in recycling here on the Massive Report the other podcast.
Well, it's the other way around, though. I mean, Columbus is the Goliath in the situation. Chicago, by that point, if they don't have a win, they're going to be really hungry, and especially playing up in Chicago. The weather might warm up a little bit. They might get some fans to show up. But right now, I don't really think Chicago will have it together until sometime in May.
It's a rival game. They're gonna pull out their best.
Exactly. It's a rival game, and teams like Chicago who have all the talent, and you're in April and they're struggling early in the season, just playing away. I mean, it's one of those games where if the crew get a draw, we might think it's not a good result, but it's in this case it might be
against a hungry team. Yeah. You see a draw being a decent outcome.
I think they should win. But a draw there I would be happy with that.
Well, there you go. Well, rounding out April, Justin, we're gonna kind of end looking at the upcoming schedule for April with you. DC United travels here to our hallowed city, our hallowed grounds. What was the word we used last week to describe Columbus Crew Stadium? I don't even remember.
The friendly confines?
No.
The house that Lamar built?
It was a Mecca.
Moon Base Alpha?
The Mecca.
Thunderdome?
The Mecca for the U.S. Men's National Team. We have DC United coming in after playing a decent match against the Red Bulls the week before we beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Playing a decent match against us, but we came out on top. Justin, where do you see at the end of April now, knowing that DC United is 1-2-1 at this point, where do you see that match, the outcome of that one, in Columbus?
Well, I heard it said once that every David needs a Goliath.
Wow!
That's what I do. That's what I do.
No, I don't know. I mean, that match against DC last week was so... It really was a toss-up. I mean, I think we outplayed them, but we could have lost 4-2. We could have won 4-2. As it stood, it ended up being 2-1. it's really hard to say. I mean, you know, I kind of made the joke about the fact that we didn't get a rival during rivalry week.
You say that five times fast.
Meant that every week is going to be rivalry week for us. And this is going to be rivalry month for us, I think, in a way. It really depends on what these first three games, what happens during these first three games. Because I think if we get two wins out of these three matches, then we're going to be in a really good spot to finish out the first 2 months of the season. If we don't get any points in these next three matches, it's going to be desperation time. I mean, literally, these four matches are going to be six-pointers. These are all teams we're competing against in the Eastern Conference for playoff spots, except for Chicago, who are mathematically eliminated, I think.
At this point already.
But,
yes.
So I don't really know if you can say what you know, give a reasonable prediction for what's going to happen there. But I like the way the team's playing. I think next week is going to be very telling. Philadelphia, and we'll talk about this, I think, later, but Philadelphia is kind of like us. And they're bringing in a new player who I'm not sure if Cleaverson's going to play next week for them.
I'm not sure.
We're not sure.
Yeah.
Don't know.
But he's a difference maker, and or at least they hope he's a difference maker. And so I don't know. This is going to be a fun April for Columbus.
That's no fooling. You know, let's go back to Matt and Danny over in England right now. Four matches in the month of April, guys. Philly, Montreal, Chicago, DC United. I'd like to hear from both of you, you know, real quickly, what you think the crew is going to come out, you know, with a record of that month, those four matches. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, there's an old English proverb that says, every David needs a Goliath.
It's an English proverb now.
Yep, it's an old English one. Oh, wait, nice. Way before you came up. I don't know, I think, I hate the term, they're all winnable games. As soon as you start saying they're all winnable games, it means you're going to lose them. But I reckon we're going to win them all. That might just be optimism. My typical British optimism that shines above the rest. So I think we can definitely get good results. I'd be upset to see us lose any of the games. So I think, yeah, for me, I'm going for a full win.
I applaud your optimism. I love your optimism. I would love to share that optimism, but I don't see it necessarily that way. Yeah, I think Saturday's match against Philadelphia is going to be a real bellwether match for us. I think we can win it. I think we possess all the opportunity and all the capability to win it. We'll have to see on that one. Montreal, I think, is going to be a lot more difficult. It's going to be. I'm actually trying to find right now whether or not the match is at Stade Saputo or if it's at still at Olympic Stadium. I think it actually bodes more well for us if it's at Stade Saputo, and that's really just because they don't tend to draw as well there. When it's indoors and it's in the colder months, and there's not a whole lot going on except the Canadians in Montreal, they tend to pull more, and they tend to get a bigger crowd in, and that obviously, you know, that obviously can rattle you, especially when it's in that large of a building. Looking ahead to the Chicago match, I think it's been, and correct me if I'm wrong, I just got a signal, and I don't think it was for me, but I think it was since 2007. I think that was the last time we won outright in Chicago.
I think so.
Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I know we drew all of our matches in 2008. I don't recall anything since then. It is traditionally been a pretty tough place for us to play, and while Chicago are not doing well right now, I would almost be happy going into Chicago knowing we only have to play there once, and knowing how just Calvin Ball that stadium can be, and coming out with a point on the road, and then coming back and facing DC at home. I expect to take full points from that match, but you know, honestly, for me to conclude April as successful, 7 or 8 points. That's really what I'm looking at, really, to take April away as a successful month.
Yeah, I think Montreal's the kind of scary one that you don't really know at the moment, because they've come out so hot. I'm just not sure if that's going to last or not, so it's difficult to judge. But.
Yeah, it really is, because you look at some of the teams before that have come out and just stormed out of the season and then really, really not done anything, and other teams that start slow and, you know, end up winning the MLS Cup. You know, LA Galaxy, for example. Definitely a team that does that. And heck, even the year we won the last couple of years we won the Supporters Shield, we did not come out strong. So I definitely want us to come out strong, but at the same time it's certainly not telling whether or not somebody's gonna come out, you know, a Chicago couldn't surprise us in April.
Well, exactly. And that's the thing, you never know who's going to win this one. The Crew actually has a favorable schedule looking at it, and I know Justin has some thoughts on this.
Well, one really good thing about these next four games is that we're going to get a look at the widest variety you can get from these teams in Major League Soccer. We're going to play against teams that started out really quick. We're going to play against teams that have been god-awful. I mean, and a couple teams that are kind of in the middle of the pack. So we're going to see what the Crew really are, I think, by the end of this month. We have a sense of where they... I mean, this first month was great. I think we did really well getting two wins on the road and a draw at home, even though that's kind of anti the formula of winning, but, you know, over the long haul. But I think these next four matches, we're going to go up against pretty much every kind of team that MLS can throw at you. And we're going to get a real good read about whether this team stands by the end of April, I think.
All great thoughts, and I have to go with Danny on this one. Using the immortal words of Winston Churchill, since they're joining us from England, never give up, never surrender.
He also said, every David has a Goliath, I think.
Yes, he did, I'm sure.
That was just...
He sure did. we have to right now go in, and Chris is going to pull up a select quote lineup, projected lineup from the hashtag MrPod, MRPod, from our Twitter feed. One of our listeners sent in a projected lineup. He's pulled one up. Tell us who it is. Tell us what the lineup is, Chris.
This one comes from, obviously, the birthday boy, Nate Beckham.
Hey,
Nate
happy
Beckman,
birthday, Nate.
Out in Arizona. so that, you know, I could just give him the shout-out. The lineup that he wants is, obviously, the Hebrew Hammer. And then left to right, Tyson Wall, Chad Marshall, Glauber Berti, and Josh Williams as a back four. He wants to see Agustin Viana playing a holding mid with... Eddie Gavin, it says EG, I almost said Eric Gehrig, but he wants Eddie Gavin on the left. then on the right, he wants to see BS. which I think...
Ben Spies.
Yeah, I know, Ben Spies, yeah, you know. But I like BS
I know.
More. Federico Higuain is an attacking mid with Dominic Duro and Iro Arrieta up top. And that, to me, seems like a pretty solid lineup.
That's a very solid lineup.
It seems like... that might win some games.
I think we'd be remiss if we don't mention Steve's lineup, too.
Well, we have to give the Steve Abreu shout-out.
Yeah, we have to give the Steve Abreu shout-out, but his lineup was right here in front of me. It was Andy and Goal, Wall, Glauber, Chad, and Josh Williams.
Right.
Spies, Viana, Sir Edward Gavin, Higuain, Arrieta, and Oduro.
Yep.
Sir Edward.
Or as we refer to him, Edwardinho.
So, and that's something we'd like to do every week. So keep an eye out on the hashtag MRPod, MrPod, on Twitter, the Massive Report Facebook page for the question of the week. We might read yours on the next podcast. Coming up in segment four, we're going to be previewing the Crew and Philly match this Saturday, talking a little bit of the USA-Mexico match.
Well, let's just say that we have a certain former Colorado Rockies pitcher that may be coming on, who had some choice words and some choice rule change thoughts about soccer in general.
He also had a really good win-loss record.
He had an amazing win-loss record in major. And by amazing, I mean probably about as good as my Little League win-loss record. So we'll just leave it at that and say that hopefully as long as producer Sam can get everything nailed down and his producer doesn't chicken out on everything, we'll be talking to him next week.
All right.
What's English for chicken out? What's the what do they say in Britain?
I would probably use chicken out, wimp out. I would use other words that aren't really.
We're PG-13 here. a little PG-13 right here at Hendock's Pub in Awesome Town, or is what was it, Chris?
Old North Columbus.
So Hut.
Not Soho in New York City. This is much classier.
We are So Hut.
Never say So Hut again. I live on a
lower level. Classy.
Sorry, man.
Type of thing. Hendock's Pub, $2 drafts on Monday nights. That's when we record the Massive Report podcast right here, almost live at Hendock's Pub. Come on out and join us. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Bye.
I'm your host, Rick Duff, and in for the vacationing Matt, Mr. Haggis Gosher, from, you know, he's over in England right now. We have to give him a little bit of, ribbing, so to speak. Joined once again by Chris, don't call me too tall, LaMachia, Justin, Mr. Tifo, or Mr. T, as the case may be.
Mr. T, Bell. F-A-U-X.
And of course, our very own Larry the Statman Johnson. You've got the stats, man. What can I say? You are the Statman. Coming to you almost live from Hendock's Pub in Old North Columbus, Ohio. Music you heard coming out of the break there, another Ohio band. That was the theme tonight. All Ohio bands. This was Guided by Voices, the best band you've never heard. From Dayton, Ohio. Been around forever. Awesome.
Dawn of time.
Since the dawn of time. But let's get back into the crew. Coming up this Saturday, we have the Columbus Crew taking on the Philadelphia Union here at beautiful Crew Stadium. Columbus Crew Stadium. Chris, give us your thoughts on this. With Philly coming in with a 3-2-0 record against the Crew, sporting a 2-1-1 record.
This game, again, it's just like every other single game that is going to be played by the Crew and has been played by the Crew this year. This game scares the crap out of me because it could go either way. Philly is a dangerous team. The Crew is a dangerous team. Either team is capable of laying a complete egg or lighting their opponent up for 4 goals. This game, I find it hard to predict an outcome just because of all of the variables involved. And, I don't think you can base it on records. I think it's just a matter of which team wants it more. And I hate to use that cliche, but it's true.
Sure.
They're two mid-table teams that are going to duke it out and play between the boxes until somebody screws up.
So do you see it just being like a one-goal?
Yeah, I see it being not a one-goal game, but a one-goal differential. It could be 6-7, or it could be 1-0.
Well, there you go. Larry, give us
it could be your thoughts.
It could be anything.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Larry, give us your thoughts on this Crew-Union matchup come Saturday.
I think the Crew are a lot more dangerous than Philadelphia, but the fear is that they might go into a little bit of a shell. Just out of fear of losing at home against Philadelphia, who I thought might actually start really, really slow. But they haven't been real dangerous, but McInerney and Sebastian Latu have looked pretty good. But they're not a dangerous attacking team, where the Crew actually you know, the table's been reversed a little bit, is that they are. They're getting a lot of shots and stuff like that. So,
yes,
I think it'll be a little...
We're competing with the Taylor Swift.
No, actually, this is Kesha, there. And somewhere Blake Compton is smiling.
Yeah.
Trying to break down it.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Back to what you were saying, Larry. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. I'm good.
This is Kesha.
Yes, yeah,
it is Kesha.
Justin, I'm really having a hard time with this. I'm sorry. I want to slice my wrists. I really do.
This is one of the great things about broadcasting live in Awesome Town is you have a nice mesh of, you know, the campus aura. And, you know, people have 22nd birthdays on random days.
Insane.
It's awesome.
But no, give us your thoughts on the crew taking on Philly in Crew Stadium. What do you see happening?
I think this is really interesting. I mean, I think Philly is a team that is a really interesting mesh of very young talent and some guys who have been around for a while. I mean, you look at the lineup that they played against New York last week. Some of the guys that stick out: Brian Carroll, Sebastian Utu, Jeff Park. I mean, these are guys who have been in the league for a while, and they know how to play. And then you've got some kids, basically kids, Michael Farfan, the Farfans, who are...
The Farfan brothers.
Yeah, the Farfans, Danny Cruz, Jack McInerney, Antoine Hopinot, who is a pretty talented guy that they brought off the bench. And then you have, I think, the wild card on this team, Connor Casey. Connor Casey came off the bench last week against the Red Bulls and scored a really quality goal. And the thing about that goal that's
what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, he can change the game as much as it might be frustrating to the opponents.
Right. And, you know, think about Connor Casey that just blows my mind. You know how old he is?
What's he, like 90?
He's 31.
He's my age.
He's only 31 years old.
In much better shape than you.
Much better shape. He's also way more bald than I am, so I got that going for me.
But, you know, you think about Connor Casey, and you're like, this guy has got to be 45 years old. But he's not. I mean, he came off the bench, scored a really quality goal. It was off of a throw-in from... Williams he threw in a laser.
It was like a 40-yard throw-in.
It was tremendous. It was flat. It was like he served it up perfectly. Connor Casey headed it right into the Red Bulls' goal to equalize. And then, you know, Philly lost that game basically on two tremendous goals. The first was who? It was Dax McCarty. Dax McCarty scored a tremendous goal that was like a touch goal from about 18 yards out, it seemed. And it was the kind of goal that you see scored in EPL. Just a quality goal in... And they also scored on a goal that was world-class. Thierry Henry given all kinds of time in the box and scored a goal that I think should be the goal of the week, possibly goal of the year in MLS. But, I mean, they played a really good game against New York. Probably should have got a result, did not. And I think they're going to come into this game hungry. They're a dangerous team. It concerns me, yeah, but I think we'll get a win.
Okay, well, we'll start with you, Justin. The weekly predictions. You know, we're not projecting the lineup here. Give me the score. What do you think is going to happen?
I think we're going to win 2-0, and I think that depends on if Cliverson is brought in, which I think would be a big development if they bring in Cliverson to play in this game, because he's brand new and it would kind of throw a lot of things off kilter for them. I think we take advantage of that, and I think we get a 2-0 win.
2-0 from Justin. Larry?
I have a hard time thinking Philly's got more than a goal in them for this game. So I think it's a crew win. It's a 1-0, 2-0. We'll say 1-0.
1-0.
You know, if anything happens, it would be a 1-1. I think the crew should win this game, and it would be disappointing if they don't.
Well, there you go, Chris. Give us your projections.
In honor of the music blaring in the background for this girl's 22nd birthday, I believe in the Columbus Crew. 2-1.
2, 1 from Chris Sam, our most excellent, most exalted producer. Give us your prediction for this match, Crew versus Philly.
I think Chris Tutalamaka here. I'll call him Tutal, whether he likes it or not.
Yeah,
I think he stole my thunder. I was going to go 2-1. Just because even no matter how bad the team we're playing against is, for some reason we tend to have a mental lapse and hand them one on a golden platter.
Yeah, that mental lapse's name is Glover.
Well, no.
Butt soup.
That has been Glover. Well, that mental lapse last week's
with
name
Captain
was
Wafers.
Actually Andy Grunebaum. So, anyway, regardless. No, I think 2-1. I'm going to go with Chris. I think 2-1.
2-1 crew. 2-1 crew?
Yeah, 2-1 crew.
Okay, so we have Chris, 2-1 crew.
Yep.
Larry with the 1-0 crew victory. Martin. Justin, 2-0.
2.
Sam.
Oh, it's on now.
Most exalted Sam. 2-1 crew.
It just became a
problem. I have to go a little bit different.
Uh-oh.
Not only am I going to give you my final score, I'm going to give you the goal score.
Uh-oh. So, Rick,
I'm
lay it out for us.
3-1 crew.
Okay.
O'Rourke.
No.
Glover, O'Rourke, and Marshall.
No. Spies.
Johnny.
Arrieta.
Okay.
And Williams.
And Josh Williams. You know what?
Those are your three goal scorers.
You know what? If the crew scores 3 goals, those three wouldn't surprise me at all. I could see those 3 doing it. Josh has been playing
if Josh gets a third goal in the first 5 games, that's the radar of every
Gold Cup.
German,
no, English. I wouldn't go that far, but I would say Josh gets a Gold Cup call up.
I think Larry's onto something, though.
Really?
I mean,
if he gets as in his position in the first 5 goals,
DJ,
this
DJ
is
scoring 3-2, by the way.
3-2, final winning goal in the 87th minute.
Wow, that's pretty
good. Wow. That's going
but
deep.
No,
the bone that's going deep. Calling the minute, too.
You might get a t-shirt.
So basically, we're looking at a unanimous decision. Crew's going to win this match,
yeah.
And that's the way it should be. We're all in agreement on that one. We have to touch, rather quickly on here before we end the segment. U.S. in Mexico at the Azteca last week, 5, 6, 7 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It came out as a 0-0 draw, whereas Don't Call Me Too Tall would say a 0-0 win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give us your reason why.
No, right? That's a 0-0 win, because nobody goes to Azteca and wins, so to get any points out of Azteca is a win. So 0-0, that's a win all day long.
And for every Goliath, there's a David.
And for every Goliath, there's a David.
Oh, there you go. Was it huge for the U.S.?
I would say as a confidence booster, yeah, it was huge for the U.S. For them to go into Azteca, get a point, get a result, to be able to shut down the Mexican attack the way that they did, because they didn't just contain it. They absolutely owned the Mexican strikers. Chicha who? And so, yeah, that's a great result for them.
So, Larry, I have to ask you, for that match, is Mexico in trouble at this point?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's the other side of the coin.
Yeah, not at all. I think they're fine. I do think the result is a win for the U.S. I don't think it's some sort of testament to how far the game has come in North America or anything like that. I think it's just a good result. Klinsmann did what he had to do. He got a result that we haven't gotten since 1997.
Mm-hmm.
I think we played them the extra time that same year, the year after, to 0-0 as well.
Yeah.
It's just a tough place to play. And it's good. It's a very, very good result. That's how it should be celebrated. It shouldn't be looked at as some sort of bellwether to where the sport is going.
They got a point out of it.
And I don't want to cut Justin's time short here, but you raise a very good point. It shouldn't be looked at as a bellwether. It should be looked at as a very well-played soccer game.
Yeah, it was approached the right way.
Exactly.
I think if they had some other coach, they might have gotten caught in a 1-0, 2-0.
Some other less good coach who's in Egypt now.
To wrap this up with Justin, I have to ask you, based on the 0-0 draw at the Azteca and the 1-0 victory in the snowball, is Clint Dempsey, yes, I can speak. It's the $2 drafts.
Yeah, it really
is. Is Clint Dempsey the right choice for captain?
Sure. I'm somebody who, I'm not a big I don't think captain really matters much. I really don't. I think there are certain teams where it's obvious who your captain is, and it defines the personality of your team. I don't think in this case it's necessarily so. I think he's a good captain. He's a really good captain. To me, the most important thing is Klinsmann. I'm a Klinsmann fan. I think he's doing the right thing. I think he's not a tactical person. He's not someone who's going to go in and say, I have a better way of coaching in a game. But he is kind of a spiritual leader in a real way. And I think he's leading the team. He's trying to change the way soccer is in this country. He's looked at it for a long time. He says this is something that's going to succeed. It's on the verge of succeeding. It needs the right person in the right spot to change things. And if that means that he has to win or get results as a national team coach, then that's what he's going to do. And the other thing about that match that I think is really important is Jürgen Klinsmann's shirt was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
It was
his pajama shirt.
Yeah, I wore one of those. It was perfect. It was the best national team shirt that I've seen worn by a coach ever. And a lot of people hate it, but I like it.
It's definitely better than the sweatpants.
Yes. It's definitely better than coach sweatpants.
It's not. It wasn't windbreaker. It was not made out of windbreaker. It was made out of awesome.
It was made out of awesome.
imagine what happens if Mexico comes to the U.S. with, I think, two games left in the qualifiers, and they have to win in order to qualify.
Oh, it's going to be huge.
That game is just... It gets bigger and
so
bigger.
So all of a sudden, the weather is really not a factor regardless. They have to play.
Do you want to know something else that we didn't mention? LD showed up.
Yeah.
LD showed up last week in a game in Toronto. I mean, we're going to have a situation where is Landon Donovan going to be called up? I don't know. I mean, this is one of the big things, and so you mentioned Clint Dempsey as a captain. What happens if Landon Donovan comes back?
I don't give Landon Donovan the armband at all.
Does he even get a call up? I don't know.
At this point, Clint Dempsey really he's the captain, and he's got the personality and the charisma to go with it. Although we're not in the locker room.
Matt Beasler had a great game by the way. He was really a surprise.
We're all looking forward to September 10th of this year here at Cruz Stadium. USA, Mexico. It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge.
You know, here at the Mecca for the U.S. men's national team, Columbus Crew Stadium. And you know, with that, we have come to that time of the evening where we must wrap up another edition of the Massive Report podcast.
It's always kind of sad.
It's Matt's fault that we went long.
MIC.
KU1.
There you go.
MOUSC. I couldn't help myself. We have to thank Matt, I Eat Haggis Kosher, over in England. And of course, Danny Ziggy Stardust. Bid me. Number one crew supporter.
And Goliath. We have to thank Goliath.
And Goliath.
We really do have to thank Goliath.
David and Goliath, of course. For Chris Lamacchia, Justin Bell, Larry Johnson, Matt Goshen in England, Sam, our producer, giving me the high signs. I'm Rick Geffen. This is the Massive Report Podcast. Columbus, you stay sexy.